All right, good evening. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 4. And we'll be looking to finish off the chapter tonight, Lord willing. And so we'll pick up where we left off here in verse 43. And we'll go down to the end of chapter 4 at verse 54. And so if you found your place there in John chapter 4, the Bible says here, starting in verse 43, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they went unto the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee." And so Jesus here healing the nobleman's son, again, just a wonderful miracle of Jesus bringing life. And so there's some things we want to look at here as we just kind of go down through the verses, because we see there's kind of two things going on. The first couple verses here is referential to what we see in the other Gospels, where Jesus went and tried to minister in his hometown, and he wasn't accepted. It says here in our text, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." So he didn't spend a lot of time there. He was coming out of Judea into Galilee. He came through Samaria, but he was only there for 2 days, and he carried on into Galilee. We see that in what happened here in Matthew 13, starting in verse 54. It says here, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And so that's, Jesus pointing out, a prophet hath no honor in his own country. That's the general rule. We see, I think we can understand that. Any of us that have been saved into a family that's non-Christian or even anti-Christian, as most of my family is, really very secular. But even in the ones that give a nod to religion, yet to being born again, when you, because they know you, that familiarity, and that's the common saying out there, is familiarity breeds contempt. And notice how they, in this portion in Matthew, you know, they know who his dad is, you know, like stepdad, right? Is not this the carpenter's son? You know, they know his mother's name. They know his sisters and brothers. It's like, we know this guy. We've got this guy wrapped up. We know everything about him. Basically, they're saying, whence then hath this man all these things? Like, when did he go off in some, you know, they would think that he would have to have some outstanding experience. If someone came from outside the area, and that's often what it is we conjure up beliefs about people. You know, that's what's very interesting. Someone who's near to you can give you a fact, a piece of information that's absolutely legitimate, but because you have, you know, maybe, and especially if it's a younger brother or something like that, you'll look at it and go, okay, well, what do you know that I don't know? Yet someone can come from outside of your sphere and say the same thing and you just accept it. That's who we are as people. And so we're not to be discouraged about that. It's just to recognize that often you're not going to get near as much traction with your own family as someone else. The whole message isn't about, I just want to touch on that because it can be very discouraging. I know over the years I've witnessed to many of my family and they don't seem to want to hear it. And you may have had the same experience, but take heart because your role may not be the one to lead them to Christ. It may be, and if so, that's tremendous. But it may simply be the one to plant the seed that someone who can come from without can come and water that seed. That they've got a foundation of truth that when others come and provide a second or a third witness, it can speak to them. They've heard it before. It becomes established and God can bring the increase in their lives. And so, you know, I know all of us that have unsafe family feel a burden for them. But we just need to be faithful to tell and then trust that the Lord will bring others, because that's often, you know, where the work is done. You may spend a lot of time with someone and it seems like you're not making much progress. And then all of a sudden they meet someone else and they have a spiritual breakthrough. Like they get saved or something else happens. And it's like, man, I've been talking to them for like 5 years. What happened? You know? Well, praise God. Like, that's what you want. Something to happen for them to see the truth. And so, anyway, so he heads to Galilee. Here in our text, verse 45, it says, then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him. So they didn't reject him. They weren't offended in him. They received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. And so they had been in Jerusalem when he was there. They had seen what he had done. They knew something of who he was. They had seen him working. They had seen his good works. And you know, that's also true, I think, for us. When you go where the Lord is, you'll see him work. When you are where he is, when you're around his word, when you're in his word, when you are in his house, when you're with his people, when you're under the preaching of his word, the people that love the Lord and love to be with God's people and love to be in God's word and love to communicate with God day by day, they see the Lord work. God is working. You know, there are some people who come to the point where they say, well, I just don't see how God is doing anything in my life. And often that's because, it's not because he's not working, it's because they can't discern anything about the work that he's doing because they've really drawn back from him. Drawn back from fellowship with other believers, drawn back, whether that's a personal fellowship or fellowship in church, drawn back from their Bible reading, drawn back in their prayer life, and it seems that he's not working, or they don't know what he's doing. And yet these folks, these Galileans, had confidence in him because they had seen him work. And so he comes then again into Cana of Galilee, again, where he did that first of his miracles, making the water wine. And now it says there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he was heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So, a nobleman. And we see here a good picture of humility. Yet he was a man with status. A nobleman would have had servants. He would have had footmen. He would have had all kinds of people at his beck and call. And yet, he didn't just send one of his servants, you know, go and fetch that Jesus fellow and get him over to my house. You know, this is my son. This is a big deal. Go get him. Get him over here. You know, like you'd order a pizza in today's day and age. That's not what happened. He left his own house. He went to seek the Lord. And it says here, and besought him that he would come down. So a nobleman who could send one of many servants comes himself, and he doesn't tell. He asks. That word besought is by implication to request, to ask, to beseech, to desire, to entreat, to pray. That's the idea of supplication, where he is voluntarily being subservient to the will of Christ. He's not commanding him to come. He's asking. When you ask, that's, you know, I like to make that distinction. There is a big difference between asking someone something and telling someone something. You know, we deal with that in regulatory law all the time. People will say they, you know, well, you need to do this. And it's like, well, are you asking me or are you telling me? And they often, they'll fake you out. They make it sound like they're telling you, but really they have no lawful rights. So they're actually asking you. And so it's important to see the difference. When someone asks you something, they're telling you that they respect your sovereignty as an individual. Or they're telling you that they respect you even if they have a higher position. And they're coming under even though they may have a higher position. And in society, this man had a higher position. Jesus didn't have a societally high position. But he knew something about the Lord Jesus. And so he came under in humility and did not just order Jesus to take on this situation. You know, Jesus himself says in Luke 14:11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But we see here a bit more communication. It's not just immediate. Jesus responds and it says, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And we know that the Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks seek after knowledge. To me, this is an addressing of repentance. So he's coming, he's understanding that Jesus can heal, but he's thinking something's going to happen. He's rebuking that attitude. Now, we don't know from the text, it doesn't say in the text that he had that attitude. We have to infer that by how Jesus is addressing him. But, you know, similarly, if you look at, if you remember Naaman, when Elisha healed Naaman, so it's in 2 Kings chapter 5, just a couple verses here. So this is, so Naaman, this is the Syrian who wanted to be healed. And the king of Syria sent to the king of Israel and said, you know, I'm sending my servant Naaman and, you know, I'm giving you all this money, heal him up. And the king of Israel's like, who am I, God, that I can do this? And Elisha said, send him to me, that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel. And it says here in 2 Kings 5:10 and 11, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. He was a leper. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Right? Like, he's got this idea that there's going to be some sort of carnival. He's going to make enchantments and he's going to swing his hands around and things are going to happen. But he had a wrong idea about the power of God. You know, God spoke the world into existence. Jesus Christ spoke the entire world into existence. No hand movements required. And so he rebukes that attitude, and we see the man then repeat his request. He says here in our text, "The nobleman saith unto him, Sir," and that's a respectful title, "Sir, come down ere my child die." So he believes that Jesus can heal, but he's still certain that it has to be at the place, that he's got to come down. And if you'll notice, he's saying, "Come down ere my child die." And so he's actually setting limits on what Christ's abilities are. And often through, you know, ignorance or inexperience, we ourselves can set limits on what God can do. Because if he understood the power that Jesus had, he would know that Jesus has power whether his son's alive or dead. And so it's not actually in the time constraint of he's going to die. But I think what's important about this man is he's not deterred. You know, he took a rebuke, but he took it. In humility, he took it and made his request again. And then we see, so he's like the fellow, Jesus gives this parable in Luke 11, where he says in verse 5 and following, "Then he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And so this man, this nobleman, he humbled himself and made a request. Jesus kind of served the ball back to him with a rebuke. "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And I believe that was a true accusation. Again, Jesus only says and does truth. And so it's true. What do we see coming back? Does he all of a sudden get offended? Well, what do you know? Well, fine then, if you won't do it, you know? No, no. Again, he entreats him. That's that idea of asking, of that importunate friend who is there. There's nothing else he can do. There's nowhere else he can go. So he does whatever he can do, which is to simply ask again. And what do we see happen? In verse 50 of our text, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth." And this is the important part. This is how we know that he responded to Christ calling him out on needing to see signs and wonders. It says, "And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." He wasn't in pride. He was humble despite his position. Jesus says, "Thy son liveth." When Jesus tells someone, "Thy son liveth," he means it. In him, John 1 says in verse 4 and 5, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You know, when Jesus speaks, men live. In Luke 8:54, and we'll see this as we get further into John as well, but in Luke 8:54, we see him going into this young maid that is on her bed, and she's dead. And it says, "And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And she came from the dead." In John 11:43, after weeping outside Lazarus' tomb, it says here in verse 43, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth." And we know what happened. Lazarus came forth. wrapped in his grave clothes. He speaks to all mankind when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or when he says in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." And so Jesus is the life giver. When he says to him, "Thy son liveth," he's truly the only one that can say that, the only giver of life. And so then we see the result of that in 51 of our text. And as he was now going down, so now he's going home. He's been given the word. He's believed Jesus. He's going down, and his servants meet him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." I like that. He asked them, when did the fever begin to amend? That means, like, when did he start showing signs of recovery, right? And you get that track where it's like over the course of however many days he would recover. No. "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." It's done. Like, right now. Like, that just, like, oh yeah. Like, it's not a process, you understand. When Jesus saves, when Jesus heals, he does it. That's how he works, in completeness. He finishes the job. He doesn't just start a process that needs time to settle out. He'll do the work. We need only believe, because all the power is there. That's why we're told, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be removed to this place." Because the power is available to do the work fully. So it's just exciting. The fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. And so he believed. He believed him when he left him. But when he received that confirmation, it was a tremendous encouragement to his heart. And it cemented his belief, because he saw that, and this is the pattern for all of us, we believe and then we see. We believe him and then we see it. And I'm like, I knew he was good. I knew he was good for it. I knew it. I already believed. It's not see then believe. It was, in this case, it was believe and then see. But his belief was strengthened. You know, I have had instances in my life where, you know, where I've prayed to God for something important and believed him for it, that he could do it. And then it happened. And I mean, those of you that know me, I've told you how after I got saved, I lost touch with my stepmom, and I couldn't find her, and I didn't know what province she was in. And I just prayed up in Stony Rapids. I prayed, "Lord, I don't know where she is, but you know where she is. Just put her in my path." And literally weeks later, I had accepted a position with Alberta Environment. I'd moved from Stony Rapids to Grand Prairie, of all places, when I thought I'd be living in Spruce Grove. But they offered me Grand Prairie, and I ended up in Grand Prairie. And then my boss wants me to take the peace officer training and be an investigator and blah, 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 blah. And I end up in Edmonton with a rental car and run out of gas, and I'm lost because I don't know Edmonton, and end up on the west side of the town and come to some lonely gas station and fill up with gas and go in because I'm hungry. I'm 2 hours past lunch because I've been wandering around like an idiot out of gas, and roll into the gas station and stand there, and I'm going to pay for my fuel and then go find something to eat. And standing with one lady in line paying for her food, I hear somebody say, "Arlen." And I look up, and Fran, my stepmom, is working the till. You know, she's working the till. And immediately, my mind goes right back to when I was there, actually at the RCMP detachment in Stony Rapids, after I had had my friends run her name with 5 ways to Sunday to find out if she'd gotten a speeding ticket somewhere or if Al had gotten a speeding ticket somewhere. And nothing, just nothing. And I was like, and that's me in my own spiritual immaturity. I should have prayed first. Instead, I used every temporal tool I could. And then it's like, well, I have no idea. Well, I guess it's time to pray. You know, I've learned since then. I pray first now. But I prayed, and I just, "Lord, you know where she is. And I tell you, when I looked up and saw her face, I knew, I already believed him. And I saw it, and it strengthened my faith. I've never had as great a confidence as then. And that was early in my Christian life. And so this man, I can just identify where this fellow's coming from. And this is life and death, you know. And he believed, and his whole house. You know, when a man has his faith confirmed and it's strong, he will live it, and it will show, and it will be out there. You know, as men, we're meant to be the spiritual leader in our homes. And if we love the Lord, and if we trust him, and if we rely on him and believe him, that will make a difference in our families. And we see in this case, it made the difference. His whole house believed. And the Lord made it happen. In Jeremiah 33, 2 and 3, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know, the things that God can do, we ought not limit him. We ought not say, well, you need to come down to heal my son before he dies. But that's our fleshliness, you know. That's just the fact that we limit. We many times limit where God is not limited. But just to encourage you tonight, God is not limited. He can answer prayers. And like I say, since then, I mean, I've had opportunity. Simple little things. You know, when Baba lost her hearing aid outside, Ron comes up, yeah, Baba lost her hearing aid outside. And I literally just didn't even, I just lowered my head and was like, Lord, you know exactly where it is. Lord, just lead us to it. And I literally walked outside, walked over to the parking lot, and I hadn't been outside, I didn't know where she was standing. And I looked straight down right between my feet, reached down, picked it up, and handed it to him. That's just silly. It's silly. It's little. But I'll tell you, I believe that God is good for it. He can take an elk and lead me to my elk in the middle of nowhere. That if I had a search party of 20 dudes, we never would have found that animal because it was nowhere near where I thought it should have went. But he could bring me right eyeball to eyeball with it. God can do that, you know. And I'm just a few testimonies about what God can do. I'm sure you, in your own life, have seen God work. But he strengthens your faith. This is Jesus. He loves us. When we express faith in him, he knows our faith is weak. But he is strong. He is faithful. He will never, he'll never burn you when you put faith in him. He will always answer according to his will. And he will show you great and mighty things. He is able to do exceeding above all we can ask or think in our lives. And that's his desire. And so, you know, look for those things. Look for the Lord working. Because when you believe him, then you will begin to see him working. And that's so exciting. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with life and death matters as much as you can trust him with the little things, like a lost set of keys. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, as this man was encouraged, we also can be encouraged when we just trust in him and let our petitions be made known to him and then expect him to do something great. We can pray. We can pray for our loved ones. We can pray for this community. We can pray for a pastor, for a building, for whatever it is, for the needs of the ministry, for people to be saved. God can do great and wonderful things. Let's just believe him and then let him work out all the detail of how he's going to do it. And then when he does it, we are waiting for it. We're looking for it so we don't miss it. And we see it and then we're praising. I would really love it if we could start seeing the praise items on our prayer list get large. Because we're really trusting and then looking for those answered prayers. You know, he is answering prayers. He is working today, and we can be encouraged. And I'm just as encouraged. You know, when it comes to answered prayer, it's kind of like ice fishing. As long as somebody is catching, you're having a good time. And I'll tell you, yeah, I may be waiting for a long time to have my prayers answered in a particular way, but boy, when I hear a testimony that God is working in your life, or God is working in your life, and he's answering prayers, you know, that That's a real blessing to me. It increases my faith. And so let's not be afraid to share those blessings when God answers prayers, because saints can be strengthened and sinners can be convicted too. But I'm primarily talking about saints being strengthened by knowing, yes, He is working, and that we would encourage one another in that. It's an edification to me to hear that God is answering prayer and working in people's lives, and I'm sure it is to you too. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank You for this account of this second miracle that Jesus did when He came out of Judea into Galilee, that it can be an encouragement to us, that we know that You are always working, and the Lord Jesus loves and cares for us. You love and care for us as a loving Father, and You desire for us to trust You, and to call out to You. You've told us in Your word that we have not because we ask not. And many times we have not because when we ask amiss. And so, Lord, work in our hearts that we would cleanse our hands, that we would have our hearts right with Thee, that we could just pour out all of our cares to Thee, that we could confess all our sins to Thee, that we can have a right relationship, and then wait for You to bless, to bring answers to prayer, that we can encourage one another. We thank You for the prayers that You have answered, so many. You have made a way for us. You've provided for us, each of us individually and as a church. You've been so faithful and good all the time. You're so good, and we just love You for that. And Lord, that we might just be encouraged as we go forward through this week to trust Thee with our most inner confidence, that we would just lay things before Thee, that we would make requests, and then be expectantly waiting for an answer to those prayers. Lord, it'll be exciting to see what You're going to do in the coming week. We do pray that You'd open up effectual doors of witness, that each of us would have an opportunity to tell someone about the liberty and the peace and joy that comes with salvation through Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that You would just prepare the way before us and give us wisdom and grace as we carry on through the week. Give us those opportunities. And Lord, we just pray that You dismiss us now with Thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.